And Father God, that's what we want to just thank you and praise you about today. We want to thank you, God, that you are truly and genuinely, with all sincerity, our true living hope. We thank you that, God, that we can come to you just as we are, the way that you've made us, the way that you designed us. And some of us may be coming broken, some of us may be coming bent, some of us may be coming in different shapes and forms and ways that may just be difficult. But you say just to come. You said just to come as you are. You said, let God, that you'll take us. That anybody, Lord, that confesses that you are Lord and Savior and calls upon your name, Lord, that you'll have us and that we'll have eternal life with you. And so today, Lord, I just pray that hearts would be opened, hearts of gratitude would just be shared with you today. That God, that we're not here to so much to see what we'll get out of this message and worship in this church experience, but today is our gift back to you, to say thank you, to show our gratitude to who you are. So it's not so much what we'll get out of it, but what we'll give today. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, church. It's great to see you guys, and thank you so much for being here, as well as our guests for being here. We appreciate it. We know that you guys can be anywhere, and thank you for choosing Living Hope. Our verse of the week comes from 1 Chronicles 16:34. I chose this one because I never want us to forget it. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. Forever, 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 his love. The one thing that we could all use a little bit more of around in this world, and especially to be able to give to people that are in need of love, that may be brokenhearted, may be hurting. And no, you know what? We could be doing really great, but you know what? I still want to have love, you know? It's good to have that. And knowing that he is good and that he loves us for all of eternity. His love endures forever. That means it cannot run out. Have you ever been to the store looking for the right kind of card before? Going through a birthday card, Christmas card, graduation cards, any of those type of things, and especially this time of year when people are looking for that perfect Thanksgiving card. I was looking at some of my favorite Thanksgiving cards, and here are a few of them. Let's see if hopefully you'll be able to read it. It says, Happy Thanksgiving to someone checking their phone in the bathroom to escape their family. Has anyone ever been there, done that with technology? It's like, man, we haven't even eaten yet, and you're still in there for 45 minutes. It's part of our Thanksgiving tradition to hide the frozen turkey and water. And Walter hunts it down. I don't know why I was thinking about a couple of people in here. You want the lead role in the Thanksgiving play, don't you? Try again. Gobble, gobble, gobble. This time with filling, okay? I assure you, Your Honor, my client is not a flat risk. Turkey? No. I'm an elf. And I am thankful for vegetarians. And let's just get right down to it. Order a pizza. And you know what? Some of us may just want to do that. You know, it's coming up with Thanksgiving and having to make all the different things. As we get a little closer, literally, this is one of my favorite holidays. It's not because my mom is sitting right up here and because she makes good turkey and dressing and that's what I want. This is just an awesome holiday to be reminded of for Thanksgiving because our life can be literally a card of Thanksgiving, not only to other people, but literally to the Lord. Many of you have heard your life is a gift from God, but what you do with it, what you do with your life is your gift to God. I want to say that again. Your life is a gift from God, but what you do with it is your gift to God. When you look at your life and how you live your life from a daily basis, how is your life, what has your life been looking like in terms of it being a gift to God? See, because so many of us, and I'm talking to me, and that's why I write this sermon, is because I think about all the things that I like to try to get out of things. When we go to work, we want to get a paycheck. We want to get a handshake. We want to get a hug. We want to get a praise. We want to get things. And not only that, but from our friends, we want to get accolades and all these different things. And some of these things, there's nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to our walk with God, it's not so much also about what we can get out from God. But we can start changing our mind and our way and our heart and our thinking and say, what can I start now giving to God? Now that I got him, now that I got this free eternal life, now that he promised me in John 10:10 this abundant life, what is it that I can now give back to him? What sacrifices can I make? What things can I do in my life to share my heart of gratitude back to him? See, being, and you notice I'm saying this, being Thanksgiving is just not a holiday. Being a Thanksgiving is not just a holiday. It's not over within 24 hours. Instead, being a Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. It's generally a lifestyle for each one of us to adopt every day in our worship with the Lord. Being thankful, being Thanksgiving. Let's just not let it go over. It's like oftentimes Christmas, we build up and we build up and we build up, and then, or even for a birthday or for a graduation or for some big event. Maybe you received Christ in your life, or maybe it was a baptism, and thank God we have all these, and then these emotionals and these spirituals and then unbelievable things. But the problem is, it's just, that's not the end of it. Keep thinking you're being baptized. Keep walking down the aisle as if it was the first time that you've ever received Christ in your life. Go back to the beginning and continue living that out each and every day. There, your joy will be complete. There, your attitude, your gratitude will be there. I want to ask you some questions as before we get in God's word here this morning. Right now, what does your Thanksgiving card, your life, your heart look like right now to Jesus? To your coworkers, to your friends, to your family members, to your spouse, to your children. What picture is illustrated right now on your card? What does it look like? I mean, you know, sometimes we have an idea of what we look like, but others people see something different. The people that are illustrating cards, they all make a certain thing, but when it's time for us to pick that card, we may skip over it. And then again, it may be sold out because everybody wants a piece of that one. You ever noticed that? Is there people that just are just drawn to you? There must be something beautiful about you inside. Yeah, physically great, but spiritually inside your heart, where people are drawn to that just can't seem to get enough of you. This church is filled with people like that. That's why I love this church so much. And what Mike said at the beginning, we'll love you until you leave or until you stay. That was beautiful. I'm going to use that every day. Right off the top of your head, right? Yeah. It was awesome. What words are expressed? What words are expressed on your card every day? Does it change with the person? Does it change with your mood? Does it change by the day? Does it change from the morning time when you're grumpy to the time you go to bed when you're grumpy? Or is there some people who are like, rise and shine, give God the glory, and you're just happy, and everybody's like, why? Just hold it down, keep it down, bud. At camp, I remember that all the time. Counselors, we got, rise and shine and give God the glory. I'm like, seriously, we've been up for like, I mean, literally asleep for 3 hours. And we're all like throwing things at the counselor. Go back to bed. Crazy counselors, youth pastors. Is your card bent up? Does it have a little bit of a tear on it? Is it hard to read? Is your card filled with joy? Like the words on it are like so amazing that people just keep reading it over and over and over again? The pop-up ones. Oh man, I love those. Give me a good pop-up. Woo! Beautiful. Well, what about the ones that, and you, the fragrance, you can smell them? Are you a fragrance to people? In your Bibles, we're going to go through a lot, and I hope that you got a bulletin, and I hope that you got a Bible, because we are going to look at several verses, especially when it comes through Psalms, and I'm going to take you through many scriptures that you may not even seen, that God would just keep speaking to me over and over when I'm thinking about being this type of card for God, being this type of gift back to God. And the first one I want to look at is Psalms 50, 23. The first part of Psalms 50, 23, it says, whoever offers praise glorifies me, meaning God. And the CV version says, the sacrifice that honors me, watch this, is a thankful heart. That means that's who you are. The one that sacrificed that honors me is a thankful heart. When you're in Christ, it's almost, it should be automatic because you see Christ and you realize, I need to be that way. I need to have that thankful heart. When we are in tune with God, the more thankful we should be. And this is why this season, this holiday of Thanksgiving is so much more. And it's why we need to stop and pause and think about, when it comes to our relationship with God, what do we look like? And the more that we offer praise, it glorifies Him. The more that we offer sacrifice and the more we honor Him is the more that we're going to look like and be a thankful heart. Simply put, this is what God wants each and every one of us to do, is literally have this sincere sacrifice of an attitude of gratitude. Having this attitude of gratitude. Counselors will say this all the time, and as I went through my counseling classes at Texas Tech, and so the healthiest thing that you could do for your body is literally genuinely waking up, having a positive attitude, and feed yourself gratitude each and every day. Not looking at your life and saying, oh, look how good I am. No, looking at your life and feed yourself at humbly, contritely, going down before the Lord and say, I am so grateful for my life with you, Lord. And because of this vertical relationship, I can horizontally be able to be more grateful for the people around me. So how do I do this each day? How do I apply that biblically to my life? First of all, we got asked maybe just a $50 question. What are you thankful for? What does your attitude look like? Why would people pick your card? What would they see about it? Or would they leave it on the shelf because there's nothing that's moving them? There's not a picture that is exciting them. There's no words that is changing them and motivating them to say, wow. And then I know there's some that are like, because I see it in you, that I want to run to it. I want to collect all of them. I want to quote you all. There's so many great, beautiful ones in here. But sometimes we get a little tainted. Sometimes we get a little selfish. Sometimes we just lose sight of it, and it happens. I shared this verse with my kids going to GCA all the time. It's Philippians 2:5. And in this version, the NAS version, it says, have the attitude in yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus. Have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. Man, that's hard, especially when you read all the stories about who Jesus is. having that same type of attitude, that gratitude, each and every day. And when I drop off my kids, I told them, guys, when you start your day off, no matter how the teacher, no matter how your friends or whatever sports, have the same attitude as Jesus Christ. What would that look like? Just as a reminder. Now, yes, it was important that I shared that with my kids, but it was also a reminder that I need to share that to myself every time I walk into the school, every time while I'm driving on the road, whatever I'm doing. Have the same attitude of Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed in your life that some days we just need to reset? We need a reset button. Have you gone through half of the day and you're like, man, I've already blown it half the time. I need to hit reset right now. I need a pause, stop, because my attitude stinks right now. And there's times in our life that we just literally need to hit the reset button. We need to just stop. We need to reboot. It needs to clean up. It needs to get the bugs out. It needs a filter. We need to stop. We need to pause and say, where am I right now with you, God? Because I am not doing good. And it's all on me. This had nothing to do with you, Lord. I love blaming it on everybody else. Okay? She looked at me wrong. He did this. He did that. They did that. Whatever. Well, if I had an attitude of gratitude, if I had had attitude of Christ, I might have changed that circumstance. I might have been a little bit more patient. I might have been looking a little bit different. Maybe I would have looked like Christ instead of looked like Troy. Last Sunday morning, you're not going to know this, but right before that morning when we did the veteran service, I woke up gasping for air. Why? Because I wear a CPAP machine. Yeah, it gets worse. Literally every night to help me breathe and to not have sleep apnea and not, you know, I like to even check my scores in the morning, how many times I died that night. Last Sunday night, he liked that one. He died like four times. That's awesome. Yet he's still here. But last Sunday morning, literally during Veterans Day, I didn't know this, but I was sucking up air. I would, like that. And it's because the power went off at my house. So just, kids, just so you know, something to look forward to later on. Now, I've had to rig this because it hurts my face. Yeah. So this goes into another long tube, and then it goes into a power source that's plugged in, and it helps pump air, like a whole lot of air. It sounds something like shh, nonstop going up my nose. This is what I use every night. I call it the romantic device. Oh, gosh. But I realized the power went out. It was just for a minute. And I noticed two things really quick. One, I took breathing for granted. And number two, that my source of life, my source of breathing, was plugged into something a lot more powerful than myself. And without that machine, I was sucking for air. I needed it. I was dead to a degree. I didn't die, but I felt like I was going to die. And until I could rip that thing off me and realize I needed that thing, I needed that powerful source to get turned back on. And it took a while for that to happen. And I feel strongly, church, and I'm truly convicted on this, without being plugged into the power of the source of God Almighty, our hearts is truly spiritually dead. We have to be plugged into that source. We have to be plugged in to have a way to be able to breathe, to be able to have an attitude of gratitude, to be able to experience spiritual gifts, to be able to love the way that we're supposed to love, to be able to serve the way that we're supposed to serve, to be able to do the things that we need to do. We have to have the powerful source of the Holy Spirit working each and every day in us and through our lives. yet we are walking mummies without the Holy Spirit in our life. Why? Because we are spiritually dead. How do I know that? Because Romans 8:10 tells us, it won't be up there. Just listen to these words. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of His righteousness. Not our righteousness, because I'm not going to get righteous enough. Because of His righteousness. So I asked you a $50 question. Here's a $100 question. Why should my life be a thanksgiving gift to God? A life with attitude of thankfulness. Why should I do that? So when you look at the Bible, one of the greatest things that you could look at is that when you open up, you can always open up. When you want to be grateful, just open up straight in the middle. Because in the book of Psalms, Psalms is all about being thankful. That has more scriptures about being thankful to God. If you ever, there's people that ask all the time, I don't know where to go in the scriptures to find certain things. Well, if you want to have an attitude of gratitude, if you want to have the attitude of Jesus Christ, Philippians 2:5, if you want to be able to trust in that source and that power, open up your Bible in the center of God's heart and you will find it in Psalms. So why should my life be a thanksgiving gift to God? The biggest reason in the world. And I'll share a couple more next week. The number one reason is because of who Jesus is. Simply put, it's because of Jesus is who He is. See, if God was not consistent, if God was non-caring, if God was distant, if God was evil, if God was hurtful, if God never listened to me, if God never had time for me, if God wasn't all-powerful, if He wasn't all-knowing, if He wasn't everywhere, if He didn't have a purpose for me, if He didn't have a plan for my life, if He desired not at all to get to know me, well then guess what? There'd be no reason to make my gift a thanksgiving gift back to Him. I mean, here's the deal. He would be like everybody else. But that's not the case. Matter of fact, it's not even close to being the case. Psalms 145:3 says, "The Lord is great." My parents taught us a Thanksgiving everyday prayer before we ate growing up. God is what? God is what? Let us thank Him for our food. Amen. God is great and God is good. The Lord is great. He is worthy of our praise. No one can understand how great He is. No eye has seen, no ears heard, no mind can even imagine what God has in store for us. That's how good, that's how great God is. The Lord is so great, it says. He is great enough to create the universe. He is great enough to literally knit you together in your mother's womb and make you perfect. Even though we may say, oh, well, there's some problems here and there's some problems there and there's some problems here, so let's just get rid of it. Oh, no, He perfectly made everything. It just may not be what you want. It doesn't mean that that's not what God designed. See the difference, church? You're perfect. Why? Because He made you. He made you in His image. And His image is amazing. He's great enough to handle any of our problems. He's great enough, literally, to get us through any problems at school, kids, and to help us through work. And to help us with difficult relationships and to overcome depression and to help us with financial strain. He's here to take care of all of our needs because He says, if I will take care of the birds and take care of the fields of the earth, how much more important are you? I got you. I may not have you like your neighbor Joe over here with the 200, 500,000 house or the nice motorcycle or the boat, but I'm going to take care of your needs. Is it what God wants or is it what I want? See, we need to stop comparing ourselves to other people and what they got, because that's putting us in a lot more bigger issues and possibly stepping out of his will when we get to the point to say, am I content with where I am right now with you, God, and not where everybody else is at? Let me tell you, God is great because he is literally interested in every detail of your life. Yeah? Well, I don't know about this part. No, he is. Well, I don't know about this part. Oh, yeah, definitely that part too. Well, you think that part? Uh-huh. The one that's insignificant that I rarely even say? Yeah, that one even the most. Every detail of your life. Not just certain people, not just certain professions, not just certain positions, but literally every detail, every single person is significant to God. Never forget that. No matter who you are the most prized position. And if he was standing at the throne of grace, which he is, he would have died for you then, and he died for you now. He would have left earth that you're the only one here. He loves you that much. No one is insignificant. I need to remind myself every day when I get down on myself and realize, man, I am very, very significant to him, and he knows exactly where I'm at. Psalms 97:12 says, give thanks to God as you remember how holy he is. Do you ever think about how holy God is? When you look at the word holy, you may be thinking, well, what does that mean? What does that look like? It doesn't look like this. I'm going to tell you that. You got to go vertical. You got to go up. Watch what holiness looks like. Without blemish, completely pure. There is no one like him in all creation, and we can thank him for that. Isaiah 6:3 says, and when one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The angels are singing this every day, all day long. Holy, holy, holy is the what, guys? That what? That was. That what? And what? Did y'all read that? Thank you for being vertical with him to know that. Psalms 107:8 says, give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. You ever just like realize how much he loves you? Can I just remind you, church, that no one will love you the way that God does? On my best day, I will not be able to love my family, my friends, church. I will not love anyone better than God will love you on my best day. And the same is going to be true for you. Why? Because his love is agape, the Greek word meaning unconditional. Regardless of who you are, what you've done, how you look, what you have on your card, he says, I agape you. I love you unfailing love. I love you unconditionally love. And the only reason we know how to love at all and give love is because God is what? God is what? And that's how we do it, church. We love because God first loved who? Us, 1 John 4. See, you're irresistible to God. And on your worst day, no matter what you do, God's pursuing you in unfailing love. On your worst day. You may be thinking, on my worst day when I've gone astray and I've turned my back on him. Oh no, he's the prodigal son's father. I'll wait for you at the end of the street. I'll put the robe on you. I'll kill the fattened calf. I'll put the ring on your finger, and I'll let you still sit with me at the banquet table someday. We have to understand that God loves us even on our worst day. And he loves people more than you'll ever know. Even when we're struggling to love people, he says, have that attitude of Christ. Let me teach you how to love that person, because you don't know. See, I need you right now playing Jesus for me here. I need you to be the Jesus. I need you to be the prodigal father's son. I need you to be that person. You're irresistible. How do I know that? How do I know that he loves me like that? It's because Romans 8, 35 through 39 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Nope. Shall distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor the things present, nor the things to come, nor the height, nor the depth, nor the other creatures shall ever be able to separate from the love of God in Christ. You just can't do it. You cannot not be loved by God. You cannot not be loved by God. You may not want to love God, but you cannot not be loved by Him. You may want to run from God, but you can't help that He's going to still follow you. He's still going to be standing at the door, knocking, waiting for you to come in and to sup with Him and Him with you, Revelation. Psalm 17 says, I will thank the Lord because He is just. Am I really going to thank God because He's a just God? I don't know about that one. I was going with you so far on the other ones. All those are good. But this part is a part that sometimes we struggle with as Christians. What does this whole idea of being just means? Watch this, because you'll fall in love with this even more. One is because He's always upright. He's always moral. He's always fair. He's always righteous. He's always truthful. He's always honest. He has complete integrity. He always does what is right. Always. Isn't that refreshing? I mean, we're around people that lie 24/7, even about the stupidest stuff. And we're like, who can we trust? Can I trust anyone around here? I need to go to somebody I can trust. I need to go to someone that has complete character and a great attitude and joyful and that is fair and righteous and truthful. I need some honesty. I don't want people just to tell me what I want to hear. I want people to tell me the truth. Does that dress look good on me? Of course it does. Always.
Amen.
Amen. That part's a joke. Okay. All right. Just trying to keep you alive here. You know what? I want a God that He doesn't always change because the world says we need to change now. I love Him because He's not tolerant of sin. Just because the world says you're intolerant and you're a bigot because you're not going along with the rest of the people on social media. You're right, I'm not. Why? Because this is my statue. This is what I'm going to follow. I'm not going to follow you just because you got 4,000 likes and 28,000 hits. If it's wrong and unbiblical, deal with it. This is not it. Well, it's not with the times. Yes, it is. It's never going to run out of time. I know that for without a doubt, because Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And Malachi 3:6 says, for I, the Lord, do not change. I love the fact that He's not manipulative. I love the fact that He doesn't show favoritism. I like the fact that He doesn't change His mind on a dime, or He says, hey, Troy, what's your will? Let me follow that and say, no, this is my will be done. I can trust in that. I can thank God for that. Why? Because James 1:17 says this, every good gift and every change, I don't change. God says. This is who I am. All of me. All of me. As I'm getting closer here to the end here, application. As I look at these verses, I want to go back. I want us to look back at our life right now. Let's reflect back on my life right now. I need to look at my card. I need to look at my heart. I need to look at the outside. I need to look at the inside. I need to look at the back of the card. I need to literally look at the price tag and say, this is a price I got for you, God, if you want to have me now. It's going to cost you, God. But this is my price. I'll follow you, but here's my price. If you want me to be around other people and you want me to talk about God, you want me to talk about trying to get a few people in the church, you want me to do this, here's your price. It's a dangerous price. It's a dangerous price, and people play it all day long. This world is playing a game that they didn't want to play. When they are trying to put a price on you can pick my card, who are we? Who are we? Here's what I know about God's card. It's free. It's free. Here's what I know about what he has to offer. Abundant life. John 10:10. Here's what I know that God has to offer is John 3:16. Eternal life. Here's what I know that God has to offer is I'm going to radically change your life and fill your life with joy and abundance, and I'm going to overflow you, and I'm going to allow you to be able to breathe without this. Because now the source is constantly plugged in at all times because you have the Holy Spirit living in you. See, the world is going to unplug, go out, it's going to die on you. And this is meaningless. But you have the Holy Spirit in you. Take it off and breathe. Take it all in. That's life. That's abundant life. Before I can be a Thanksgiving card and bring him a gift of my life to him, I have to be willing to accept his gift, his free gift first. See, I can't accept some of him. I can't accept parts of him. I can't accept the parts I like and leave out the rest. No. I need to take Genesis and I need to take Revelation and I need to take the totality of who God is and I need to place him in my life and understand it's all or nothing. I need to take his greatness. I need to take his holiness. I need to take his unfailing love. I need to take his justice because he's still a holy God. And see, holiness does not allow sin to come into the throne of grace. It does not allow people to sit at the banquet table. Sin does not allow that to happen. But the gift of God, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord is what? Is saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are what? For God so loved the world that he what? Keep going. Ever. That's a gift. Ephesians 2:8-9. There's nothing you could do to earn his salvation. For I have been, what? Saved by what? Grace. And not of what? Works. So that anyone could what? Boast. There's not anything we could do. Why? Because our works are like filthy what? It means nothing. We'll all sit up here forever if that was the case. But instead, we're going to go to the throne of grace, to this cross, and we're going to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, accept the greatest gift that he could ever bestow upon the world, because he left the throne of grace. He came down here for 33 years, and he lived a perfect life. No sin. I became sin, he says, for the sins of the world. So that you could cross over by receiving me in your life, you're with me forever. We got to first accept his gift. Some of you are thinking, well, I want to, but the parts that are on my card, well, it's got this torn part right here. And this picture right here, you're not going to be able to see it very good, but it's been like faded out. And well, the back of it, I'm going to scratch out that it's $3 million. And I'll just, I don't really know what to put on there. And the spaghetti stains. and this stain over here, I don't even know where I got that stain, but this one's the one that keeps reminding me of why I'm not, that you're probably not going to accept me. See, I don't look like some of these other cards. And I've been sitting on this shelf for so long, and everybody's been picking all these other ones around me. But I want to be picked. I want to be picked. I'm tired of sitting on the shelf. So you have God. It's going to come into that store. So you want to be picked? I want to be picked. And he'll pick you. Stains, bent up, torn, faded, whatever you want to put on it. He says, I got you. And I'm going to read you every day. Matter of fact, you may be my favorite. And matter of fact, you're my favorite. And matter of fact, you're my favorite. And you're my favorite because I don't show favoritism. Psalms 118:1 as I close. He tells us just to tell him. Tell the Lord how thankful you are, because he is a kind and he is a merciful God. And he loves you more than you'll ever know. The verse of the week. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. If you have not picked his card, it's free. It's life-changing. You're never going to want to stop reading it. You're never going to want to stop looking at it. You're never going to want to not give it away, because you want people to have what you got. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to say thank you. I thank you for the hearts that are in here today. I thank you for those that listened so much and just said, you know what, today is my gift back to you, God. Lord, I don't know all the hearts. I don't know what all the cards look like today. But if there's some that has been sitting on the shelf for a long time, refusing to give you because they've had a price on it, I pray that God, that they will choose to erase the price and simply just say, pick me. Lord, for we already know that if we choose to pick you, your card is free. It's holy. It's good. It's great. It's filled with joy. It's loving. It endures forever. It's perfect. It's just. It's miraculous. It's life-changing. It's abundant. It's eternal. It's everything that we all could ever want. So this is our invitation. And may we all today write a card to you right now in our hearts and give you thanks. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand for a time of invitation, please.